All right, next meeting that we will attend to is the February 26th City Council Study Session. And again, we'd like to excuse council members Finter, Luna, and Thompson for the reasons that I explained earlier. The first item on this agenda is to review the agenda for the March 2nd council meeting. So let's do that. Mr. Brady, do we have any staff presentations that we ought to be aware of?
No, Mayor, but just we'll need to pull item 3C.
Okay.
And then we have another item to add for that council meeting, a liquor license for New Leaf Foundation for Friday, March 6th. So we'll be adding that to the agenda for Monday.
All right. So we're taking off of the consent agenda the liquor license application 3C. I assume there's been an objection from...
They've just withdrawn the...
Oh, I understand. Okay.
You've taken off the agenda completely. I'm sorry. Yes.
I get it.
Pull
okay.
it off the agenda. Thank
so you. We're deleting 3C from the agenda, and there will be a new liquor license application added to the agenda prior to Monday. Okay. Any questions on agenda item 4, purchase contracts? Agenda item 5 is taking action on resolutions. Just one item there. In this meeting? That's the next.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. This item is the subject of a discussion on. Okay, we are going to hear a presentation on this item. Is that correct?
Would you like to?
Well, isn't that item
2A? Are we on 5A or 2A? Which one are you on?
Isn't item 5 related to item 2A on the
agenda? Oh, yes. As we go later in the agenda. I thought you meant right now.
No,
sorry.
I'm sorry. All right. So 5A, we will be hearing a presentation on momentarily. And so that concludes. Well, under item 6 and 7 are some zoning cases that, again, come to us with recommendations. So they are on the consent agenda. Is there any questions or any desire to take anything off the consent agenda? All right. If not, then we'll move on to agenda item 2A, as Mr. Richens points out, which is to hear a presentation on the CDBG ESG home non-rental and human services funding and the 2015-16 annual action plan. Long time no see.
Yes.
Guys, thanks for coming back.
A new meeting.
Thank you very much. What do we need to know about this item?
Good morning, Mayor, Council. Good morning, Mayor, Council. We're here today to talk to you about the funding recommendations for the community development block grants, home investment partnership program, the home program, and the emergency solutions grant. In addition to that, our human services funding. You can see from the slide here, staff had anticipated some funding cuts, but as it turns out with the CDBG program, there was a slight increase in funding. There was a slight decrease in home and a slight increase in ESG, with the human services funding remaining the same from fiscal year 14-15. I will get into the recommendations for the CDBG funding. The first area is code enforcement, where and this also has been to the Housing Governing Board and the Community and Cultural Development Committee. And so what you'll see in these slides is what the 14-15 funding was, what the agency request was, and what the CCD recommendations are.
Thank you. I think Mr. Cavanaugh has a question for you.
Right, and to the point for the funding cycles, again, I want to make sure on the record that when our committee reviewed this issue, we discussed with staff that we are in the midst of a program to increase human services funding over a 5 or 6 year period, and that as part of the budget discussions, One of the issues that will be on the table for the council is to continue increasing that money. Last year, we increased the ABC Human Services funding by $100,000 and had recommended a similar increase over the next 5 years to bring it back to the pre-2008 levels. And so that additional $100,000 will be an item for the council to consider as part of the budget discussions. And I just wanted to make sure that we had that on the record.
Thank you. Yes, I think Mr. Brady, we all understand that that's going to be subject of discussion during
absolutely
our...
Absolutely, we can give that as an option for the council to consider.
Thank you. Please proceed.
So the second area is economic development, where the CCD and staff's recommending the following fundings for NEDCO, West Mesa CDC, and also the Sprinkler Program for Economic Development. The next category is acquisition and rehab, where recommendations is full funding for the homeowner rehabilitation program. Also, some funding that will be going to Pepper Place Rehab that will be done by the City of Mesa. And we've also put in there that the prior year fund, so leftover funds from this year, will also be going to the Pepper Place Rehab. Also, the Legacy on Main project will be receiving $225,000 is what the recommendation is for Legacy on Main. In addition to that, the next area is the public facility applications, where we're recommending a partial funding of the East Valley Adult Resources. We've had discussions with East Valley that they can do this, their work in phases, so that the partial funding is something that is feasible for them because they can do that work in phases. The next area is the public services category, which does have a cap of 15% on it, a maximum cap. So you'll see some smaller funding amounts in comparison to what you see in the other areas for places like A New Leaf and Community Bridges. In addition to that, you've got Save the Families, Chicanos por la Casa that are in this category. The next section is the Emergency Solutions Grant, or ESG. Again, these are some of the smaller funding, but this focuses on rapid rehousing and outreach for the homeless in this area with the Emergency Solutions Grant. And then the next slide shows that weren't funded. And then the following slide is we get into the home funding, where the discussion with the CCD was to provide some competitions between the CHOTOs, which are community housing development organizations. So we have Newtown and Chicanos por la Casa. And then when you look with the City of Mesa Housing and Revitalization, the home buyer assistance, they'll also have those funds available, that $160,000. So.
And Mayor, you may be familiar with an organization that used to do business here in Mesa called Housing for Mesa. And when Housing for Mesa closed, it left a gap for us as far as particularly around home ownership development. And so it's exciting to see, to have two organizations working here with some capacity to be able to fill that void that we've had for two or three years now. And so, and just of note, Alan Carlson, the executive director of Newtown, is with us today in the audience. And they're also working with West Mesa CDC to help make sure we build local capacity. Newtown's been successfully working in Tempe for many, many years. So it's exciting to have them working with us, as well as Chicanos por la Casa, which is one of Arizona's legacy organizations, indeed.
So I understand we split the funding between those two organizations.
We actually added to this pot back in September when we went before City Council. We laid out what we had in home funding. Council decided that about 1.2 would go to rental and about 380 would go to home ownership. Since only two of the four low-income housing tax credit projects were approved, we had some extra funding. The CCD wanted some of that brought over to the home ownership side so that we actually are looking at 760 instead of 380 under our homeownership pot.
Good news. Thank you.
The next funding is the human services, which again isn't the grant part. This is from general fund dollars and also from the ABC contributions. We have, you know, A New Leaf, East Valley Adult Resources, Save the Family that are involved in here, Community Bridges also. into the next. You've got some of the similar, these are some of the smaller programs typically, and more outreach type things that we're doing here. And then you can get into the next with Oakwood Creative Care, Team Lifeline. And as you get into the next slide, we'd actually get into the ones that we're recommending not be funded simply because we don't have enough funds to be able to fund these areas here.
Mr. Kavanaugh.
And a question, depending on the actual amount of ABC funds that come in between now and the end of the fiscal year, if the funds exceed what your projection was, as I understand it, as in past years, those would get added in and you would just go down the line to fill, because many of these projects were had good ratings, but simply we ran out of money. And so if the community becomes generous in the last part of this year, there's going to be some additional money available for the agencies. Am I correct?
Yes, we would go through the ranking system as we had ranked these and go down that the line until we would then again run out of funds, depending on what how much funding is available, how much funding was requested, and where they scored.
Right. And one of the key discussion points we had last year in the budget cycle was trying to join together with the private sector to figure out ways to rebrand, recraft the ABC program and to market it. And so I'm hoping that for our next CCD meeting, maybe you can come back and bring a status report to the committee on the efforts there, because, again, that might create some increased public awareness to help boost the funds coming in towards the end of the fiscal year. Thank you, Mayor.
That's a good suggestion. Who on staff is... It's not clear to me that housing is the department that is responsible for the ABC program, right? So is there somebody... I think Mr. Kavanaugh makes a good point. It'd be good to get an update on the mm-hmm. ABC program, and if we are trying to rebrand it in an effort to increase participation, I'd be anxious to hear more about that as well.
We can do that, Mayor. We have there actually is a small group of within our city manager's office working with some of the community leaders to try to been talking to the community or the agencies throughout the city about what we can do to try to rebrand that and try to promote that. So there have been a lot of ongoing discussions about that. So we can brief the council on that.
Great. Thank you.
Part of that discussion, and I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, was turning to the agencies and said, guys, you have constituent groups, you have board members, we need to all, and you come to the city looking for these funds, we need your help in marketing it too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the city marketing it, but them really taking the message out that it benefits them when people do this activity on their utility bill. So,
yeah, and part of it is there's a confusion because when you go to the SRP, how they do it, it's directly benefiting for those who are looking for utility assistance and we're trying to communicate that this is not just utility assistance, but it goes to other agencies. And there's confusion because individuals will get, they'll have both bills and trying to understand the difference. And so anyway, but we've been working with several of the community members about that and about what we can do. We can bring a review back to the council presentation.
Great. I think that program's evolved since I was aware of it several years ago. So I appreciate the update. I would fall into the category of the uninformed community member that would assume that all of that money is going directly to utilities. So I look forward to learning more about that. Sorry to please proceed.
Nope, that was the end of the presentation.
Oh,
so
okay.
If there's any questions or discussion.
Great. Thank you. Well, I know this is not the first time that the council has seen this. Two of us up here participate in the committee that vetted this earlier. I sat in on that meeting, and I've had meetings with staff and gone over these numbers. I'm very comfortable with them. Appreciate the thorough way that this was vetted and all the scrutiny that went into reaching these conclusions. It doesn't look like this is agendized for an action item. Is that right? It's on the council agenda on Monday. Okay, thank you. Next item.
No.
Let's be careful. The item that we saw before.
On 5A.
A? Maybe we ought to be clear because that's really not covered. The presentation you just heard is on the new dollars coming down from HUD, and this is the beginning. Well, not the beginning. We're in the process of allocating those dollars, and I think after this presentation, there has to be a period where this is.
That's right.
advertise for...
The next step is it will go to a 30-day public comment period starting on March 16th, and then we will be back in front of you on April 20th with resolutions to finalize everything, including the comments we received, and then we will send it to HUD.
Okay. So it's kind of like this is getting harder and harder as far as, you know, the final decision, so we want to make sure the council's comfortable before we go out. But let's go ahead and go back quickly to item 5A, and just this has really to do with, I'll call it, older dollars that were sitting out there that we're now programming to be spent.
Yes.
You want to cover that real quickly?
That is actually part of fiscal year 13-14, right? So there was some funding available. Some of it comes from a new lease award that they've asked us to redirect from one of their projects into phase two at La Mesita. Some of it is some admin money, and some of it is program income. They can use it to finish up their homeless shelter in phase two. We also have to have a 1.5, we have to hit a 1.5 ratio in our HUD account on May 1st. So it works out real well. We have this money. It needs to be spent. They can provide us the details that we need to be able to do those draws by that time period. So this is a second substantial amendment to last year's annual plan. So it's not new money. It's just redirecting some of the awards that were already given, program income, admin, to this project.
Yes, thank you. I know this came as good news to all of us. So we look forward to approving 5A on Monday. And then back to the presentation we just heard, I think to me this is a good example of when you're dealing with HUD money and CDBG money, it's a very complicated process. There's a lot of hearings involved. There's a lot of public comment involved, and we're at the front end of that with regard to these prospective awards that will be in next year. So thank you for managing that very complicated program for us. Next item on our agenda, thank you very much, is to hear a presentation on the five-year consolidated plan and analysis of impediments.
Again, we're back. Very, very similar. We have a five-year plan, consolidated plan, that's kind of the guiding document for the department over the next 5 years. As part of that, there's an analysis of impediments to fair housing that is done, that is used as another document to help guide us along. These documents will be going out also for public comment, and so we're getting some input. We've been through the housing board and through the CCD also through this process, very similar process to what you've heard over the last couple of presentations. And we're here to get input today from the council before we go out to public comment. We did have a consulting group, WFM Consulting, that completed the analysis of impediments, the consolidated plan. And in addition to that, there's an annual action plan, which helps you get towards those goals of that five-year action plan. Based on their surveys and outreach, a draft has been put up on the website that you can see, and we'll be going out to public comment. Quickly, the analysis of impediments is a review, as I said, of barriers that affect fair housing. Three impediments that were identified. First one was a lack of fair housing education, and that is folks either not knowing what their rights are for fair housing and or not knowing how to file a complaint if they feel they're a victim of fair housing. And then there's also some mandated training. The recommendations for this are to put some of the CDBG funds for training for city staff. In addition to that, some training for the nonprofit agencies, because a lot of them, as you see from the funding cycle, become landlords in this process. So making sure that they understand what their requirements are. Second impediment was an uneven distribution of community resources. This really focused on transportation, parks, schools, code compliance, those type of issues with the community resources. And some of the recommendations, and you'll see there was a very good discussion, I think, of this, and it'll come up as we start looking at the CDBG target areas. There was a good discussion with CCD about this. And but really looking at evaluation tools on how we consider the proximity of these services for the folks, whether it's transportation or if it's, you know, schools and parks, and also looking at the regional and planning, regional and local planning efforts that are happening. Third impediment was a limited supply of decent, affordable housing. Again, there was another good discussion with CCD on this. really looking at the respondents indicated issues that negatively affecting the West Mesa area, where you have some substandard housing, some absentee landlords, and really a need for greater code enforcement. I think an area that you see from the funding is the rehab program that we talked about that can help out in this area. Also, there's a neighborhood stabilization program that is a separate grant that can help out in this area also. So really the recommendations were prioritizing those funds that produce new affordable housing and or improve what is the existing stock.
They mentioned that. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry to be chatting while you were talking. Could you put the last slide up again?
Sure.
Decent affordable housing. I guess that's a subjective determination that the consultants that we retained arrived at. Because, for example, Mesa has a pre-existing organic supply of older housing that is affordable, not capital A affordable, but small A affordable. And I think we would like it to be, just because it's old, I would still like it to be decent. And is there a way for older housing to be decent housing?
It's actually a HUD term.
Yeah.
When we assist somebody in housing, it has to meet minimum housing quality standards. And HUD has that all lined out to what those have to be. So we do inspections to make sure we have what we call HQS inspectors on our team who make sure that any rental like that is in compliance with that. And that's what HUD would define as decent, affordable housing. And it would be minimum safety standards. Obviously, we have other grant programs that we can work with homeowners that may not be able to afford to maintain their house in a decent, safe standard. So we can go out there and help them with that through a grant. Part of it's forgivable. We have several programs. We also have the NSP program where we purchase some of the foreclosures. We fix them up and we sell them to qualified homeowners. So there's lots of programs where it is a HUD term, and there are minimum restrictions that it would have to pass.
So we fall below the definition of decent housing?
In some of them.
In some of them, okay. And I'm aware of our action plan with the various resources we have to go and do rehab homes. And will that help us to avoid this being an impediment going forward?
The impediments outlined through the next 5 years, what we will do is try to target funding that will help these impediments. So part of the overall rating system is to say, oh, that's a good program. Or we put an RFP out and say, we want somebody to come in and do this for us. One of the things that is happening, Legacy on Main Street would be a great example of that, where we do have some older affordable housing through their tax credits that they're applying for this year, and phase one that they received tax credits on last year. They've been able to modernize it, bring it back up to great standards and stuff. So through the tax credit process, we get housing rehabbed as well. So there's lots of different buckets out there happening to maintain that stock or to try to bring it back up to a higher standard.
Okay, and I apologize. This is my ignorance. I have less exposure to these issues than my fellow council members because I've been gone for a while. But so just to boil it down for me, in order to avoid having this as an impediment in going forward, where we have this, where we have a limited supply of decent, affordable housing, we can rehab and we can do code enforcement, and we can, and then this will the next time a contractor is analyzing our impediments, they'll say, "Oh, they've made progress in this area. I'm no longer going to identify this as an impediment." Correct? Or
they may indicate progress, but you also, as time goes on, your housing stock ages. So while you're ticking away at the older stuff, you have stuff aging. So it may be an impediment for quite some time. But as long as we're gearing resources there to keep it from, to try to solve it, then we would be in compliance and trying to make it better.
So, Mayor, Tammy,
we use the word impediment, but really in this five-year plan, it's really kind of helping us identify needs of priority
right.
of where we should look to. It's not that it's, I mean, I guess you'd use the word impediment, but it's also just kind of helping us identify areas where we need to continue working on for 5 years. And you're suggesting this may be an ongoing conversation
right.
as the city ages, but we can, this gives us an opportunity when council is allocating dollars in the future is, or is an area we could make a difference.
Right, but the reason it shows up as a fair housing impediment is because you have a high concentration of lower income or minority, or it can create fair housing issues when you have not as safe housing or as decent housing. So putting that in there helps eliminate that fair housing issue.
Okay, so an impediment is a word, is a term of art in the HUD industry, yes. and it means you're an aging community. You're going to have an ongoing challenge because you have an aging stock of housing. It doesn't. It's not an impediment in that it prevents us, or it's not a finding of fault or something that would prevent us from qualifying for funding.
Right. No, what I think identifies fair housing has an aspiration, a goal that those who are low income, maybe even minority population or otherwise, have access to decent housing.
Fair, decent housing.
Is that fair?
Right. Yes.
And so this is a way to begin addressing that.
Yes.
Being
right.
aware of the need to address that in the future.
Yes. Correct.
Right. Okay.
And then
I'm
we're
less concerned about the term. Then. To me, it sounded like
I mean,
a black
mark on. It's
something
we need to work on, but I wouldn't. It's not keeping us from doing something. It's just encouraging us to look in this direction.
These are the challenges we face, rather than these are the black marks that we have.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
And where this ties in well then on the next slide is it ties to our consolidated plan where we then start making those priorities. So you have those analysis of impediments that then you now have a consolidated plan that sets priorities on how your funding is going to be set up. And again, there's an annual plan that we'll be able to track the progress that we're making towards those five-year priorities through the annual plan and the reporting process through that. So the consolidated plan lays out how we spend these dollars. There's seven priorities that were identified. And you'll see in the presentation here in the consolidated plan, when you see the red areas, this is where we had input from either the CCD or the Housing and Community Development Advisory Board. So we also maintain the current preferences of elderly, disabled, homeless, and professionals. And the professionals is teachers, public safety officers, artists is kind of examples of what those professionals are. So one of the things you'll see is that there was a discussion at CCD about two different options for the CDBG target area. Here is option number one, which focuses mainly on West Mesa. And then option number two really is Broadway to University, the Tempe border to Meridian Road. When you look through the analysis of impediments, and I said that there's kind of, there's a difference of needs where out east you don't have the transportation options and out west you've got maybe the more affordable housing. Out on the east side you don't have that maybe affordable housing that's available. So the discussion with CCD was that by laying it out as a strip across the city, you'd be able to target different areas that have different needs. So the next is the priority. And those two maps will go out.
Mr. Glover, you have a question.
Not really a question, just more of a statement. I really do like option two to option one, even though we do have the three people that represent West Mesa. I think option two gives the ability for us to reinvest along the entire light rail corridor and just reinvest in those areas that need a little more TLC. And so I think I commend my members of the CCD committee for that option and coming up with that plan.
Are we going to be asked to make a choice between option one and option two at some point?
Yes, it will go out to, the idea is it'll go out to public comment with the two options. When it comes back from public comment, we will review that public comment and see what we have received. And then at that time, we will get approval from the council for the final plan that will be submitted to HUD.
Okay.
And this grew out of the experiment that we did in 85204, where we focused a lot of our I keep forgetting the name of the program.
The Neighborhood Stabilization Program.
NSP, yeah. Everybody else that lived it, I guess, breathes it all the time. Anyway, but it really had a great effect on stabilizing some of the home price. I remember during the recession, 85204 was one of the few zip codes that had stable home values during that period. And I really think it was a lot, largely in part to the NSP program. And so, you know, in talking about all these impediments, we really thought, hey, let's think differently. Instead of, you know, smattering it around, let's really focus on a corridor and see if we can really have a great effect. Now, the one thing I wanted to comment on this option too was, you know, I wouldn't want to limit it to the center of the street of University and Broadway. You know, we should really be looking at properties on the north side of University and the south side of Broadway as well as part of that corridor. So I just wanted to get on the record that, you know, and the intent isn't, you know, cut a line down the middle of the street. And if you're on the south side, you're out of luck. If you're on the north side, you're in luck. I think you need to look at the corridor on both sides of those streets as well. So I know that makes it a little funkier GIS draw, but I think that's important to consider that, you know, both sides have issues that can be resolved through this thinking.
We can modify the map before it goes out. One thing I wanted to make sure that council understands is that having a target area doesn't mean your CDBG funds have to be spent there. It just gives you a focus over the next 5 years that says if you're doing something here, you're going to probably be more supported. Whereas you still can spend your CDBG dollars in any of the low-income housing or the low to moderate census tracts. And in some cases, depending on what you're spending your money on, it can be anywhere in the city. You know, for instance, our rehab dollars. We can help anyone in the city. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a low-income census tract as long as that applicant qualifies. So having a target area just says to the public, if you come here and in this area and you are something we are targeting, you're going to have a better option to be supported. Doesn't mean that everything has to be spent there.
So a better option means that there is some preference given in this area?
Priority.
Okay,
yes.
Priority. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you. I agree with Councilmember Richens on the University of Broadway issue as well. And one of the underlying precepts of why we did this was looking at that whole corridor as an ongoing high-capacity transit corridor. And hopefully, I know we'll have future discussions of where light rail will go, but this is kind of an assumption that this will be a high capacity corridor. And there are a lot of opportunities along this area where I think land uses will change. A lot of properties are either undeveloped or underdeveloped, or uses will change. And the example we talked about a lot in our committee was the senior population, that a lot of the baby boom generation moves through, they tend to have a big impact on community services. And what we're seeing today is, in terms of lifestyle preference, a lot of baby boomers may not want to be in the mobile home parks that are the RV parks that we see along Main Street, but rather might want to look more for either some type of home ownership opportunities or rental opportunities along there. And I think it creates a priority for developers to be creative, to locate along a high-capacity corridor, to repurpose some of the properties that are on there, and hopefully also encourage services and agencies that serve an aging population to locate along there as well. And again, combining the housing aspect, the service aspect, the transportation aspect, I think we create a lot of incentives to kind of fill in that area of the community. But it was a very productive discussion in committee, and so appreciate this being in the plan.
It makes sense to have options when it goes out to public comment, and I think we'll all benefit from whatever feedback is generated through that process. Thank you. I'm sorry, we interrupted you in mid-presentation.
That's quite all right. It's a great conversation discussion. The first priority was invest in economic growth and workforce development. Really, this hits on some of the commercial revitalization in the target areas that we just had the discussion of, also job skills training, prioritizing funding for economic development projects based on the target areas. The second priority is increasing and maintaining that affordable housing stock. And as you'll see, that these are the large priorities. When you get down into those bullet points, this is really where the annual plan comes into play and where you're focusing on making progress on these bullet-pointed items towards the larger priorities. Again, we had a lot of this discussion on whether it's construction of new affordable housing or it's rehabbing existing affordable housing and what the needs are and how they differ in different parts of Mesa. The third is decrease in homelessness. The advisory board did have some comments. They wanted to make sure, the key part of this, the red here, is that they wanted to make sure that we separated out support for homeless shelter facilities and also providing funds for the permanent supportive housing for residents. So it was kind of combined into one bullet point, and they wanted to make sure that it was broken out, that those are two different things as far as the shelter facilities and then the permanent housing. So. Fourth priority is to provide non-homeless public services. Examples can be capital improvements for public facilities, some of the things that we saw in the funding process, like East Valley Adult Resources that we were funding. Priority number five is to implement transit-oriented development strategies. And one of the, you'll see in the red, the CCD, it originally said execute slum and blight, and it was, we changed that to address slum and blight because the committee felt execute was a little heavy-handed of a word to be using in there. They didn't really like the word execute, so we changed that. Yeah, and we also changed that from a priority. It was originally listed by the consultant as a medium priority, and the advisory board felt, because of the large investment that we are doing in light rail and what's going down Main Street and a lot of the conversation that we've had today, that this should be a high priority for us. The sixth priority is to increase collaboration between the service providers. I think the key point here is that's not only our nonprofits, making sure we don't have duplicative services, but also city departments, to make sure that there's collaboration between the city departments. And as we're investing funds throughout the city, we have an understanding of what everybody's doing, and maybe to be able to go into certain areas and really make a difference by leveraging those funds and the abilities that, that the city has. The seventh and last priority was affirmatively furthering fair housing, which, you know, increasing the supply of affordable units, and also that fair housing education that we talked about before. There's an annual conference that the city holds. We'll be coming back to you next month, actually in April, with a proclamation for Fair Housing Month. And also we've been increased some efforts on the website to make sure that people are aware of what their rights are.
Quick question. Yeah. I sometimes you use the phrase capital A and lowercase a affordable housing. Am I correct in that affordable housing is another HUD term of art that defines subsidized housing? Generally speaking, is that fair?
HUD would define it as not housing that does not cost more than 30% of your annual income. So if you are paying more than 30% for your rent, then HUD would define that as not being affordable.
Okay.
And so it just depends on who you are and which place you're renting and which, so.
So affordable housing means I'm spending 30% or less of my income on that housing, not necessarily that it's housing that's been subsidized by the government to some extent.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And with that, again, this will be going out similar to public comment. So if there's any other questions or discussion.
Thank you. I think we've all had the opportunity to ask you questions in prior meetings and in private meetings. So I think we're all pretty up to date on this. Thank you very much. We'll look forward to getting the public comments back.
Thank you.
The next item on the study session agenda is to hear reports on meetings or conferences attended. Council. Mr. Richens?
Yesterday I had the opportunity to travel up to Denver to meet with the Walton Family Foundation, and they had convened some leaders in the West to talk about water. And it was a really fascinating conversation there to talk about getting groups together to talk about water resilience. And it was indeed a fascinating conversation. We'll see kind of where it goes. They're trying to put together an alliance of folks that can advance that conversation a little quicker. So,
Thanks.
Important topic. I know the last week or so, several of us have been involved in various launches and ribbon cuttings and celebrations related to spring training, and I think that will ramp up even more next week. So, Mr. Brady, maybe that leads us to the next item, which is scheduling of meetings and general information. What are we doing next week?
Spring training begins. It's going to be exciting. We have two opening, nice to have 1 week, two opening days. So we'll have Tuesday will be the opening day for the Oakland A's. They'll be their first home game will be on Tuesday. And then Thursday will be the first home game for the Chicago Cubs. So that should be very exciting for us. Also, just remind the council, tomorrow there will be a rededication ceremony for the Metro Traffic Police Station from 8 to 9 a.m. At the 2505 South Dobson Road. The easiest way to do is go to the Dobson Library and then walk over from there. So it should be easy to find. That'll be nice. There will also be a Public Safety Committee meeting Monday, March 2nd at 3:45 p.m. And our next council meeting will be Monday, March 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. If there's nothing else, we'd entertain a motion to adjourn. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We are adjourned.